Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today I have on Camille Potter, Vice President of the Spiral Scouts International Organization. Thanks, Camille, for coming on. Can you introduce yourself and this organization to the listeners?
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Ashley. First, I'm Camille Potter. I'm the Vice President of Spiral Scouts International. But Spiral Scouts International is kind of new, I guess, in the scheme of things for the duration of scouting. A little over 20 years old as an organization, and it's open to children of any faith or no faith background, and also open to youth that is neurodiverse, has disabilities, and it is all gendered. So basically, it's welcoming to everybody.
Awesome. So I found out about the Spiral Scouts through a previous episode that I did with the founder of this website called Mandagore Magica, which is a pagan resource for people to find covens or, you know, witchy type things in their area. And somebody had a listing for a Spiral Scouts group. So that kind of begs the question of like, how did this get started? How does this fall in like the pagan realm, or did it just have roots in it? Is it still kind of connected? Like, where do we fall with this?
So Spiral Scouts, it grew from the Aquarian Tabernacle Church. That's where it has its roots. And it was a children's program that was very loosely organized. And they were looking for activities for the youth to do during a specific event. And then it just kind of grew from there. There was an interest and also a need for a youth development program that allowed them to work in areas of interest and also be accepted. So it's gone through, you know, over the years, different leadership, and now we're basically where we're at. It's never been pagan Sunday school, but a lot of people assume that maybe it is because of its roots. But the idea is that it's accepting and open to all youth.
I was looking at some of the badges, and I'm going to ask a bit about that as we go on, but there was like Hecate's wheel, essentially, was one of the images from one of the badges. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. So how long in total has this been around for?
So it started to gain momentum. Like I said, it came out of a need for a specific event for youth activity. And it started essentially in 1999. So we're 22, 23, maybe 24-ish years in.
So what makes this a little different than other organizations like Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts?
Well, you know, you asked about its pagan roots. And so there are opportunities to make your charter or experience as pagan or secular as you'd like. And we have some different awards that kind of set us apart, I would say, or it's like an additional kind of layer to the scouting experience, right? We have many traditional scouting type badges, but we have the Sabbat Award Series. So there's 8 Sabbats, and throughout the year, the scouts can work on these awards. I think that's the best way to do it. That's how I've done it with my own charter. And they get to explore the Sabbat pagan holidays, but they're doing it in a way that they are looking at other cultures and the holidays or seasonal celebrations that happen at the same time. And they get to kind of compare them and see how they're the same and how they're, or similar rather, and how they're different. And then they also look at their own family traditions. And so it's just really developing an understanding of how many people celebrate around the seasons. But then there's others, you know, there's a few other spiritual awards as well. But for the most part, you know, you're going to get a really kind of normal scout experience, if you will, where there's badges in cooking or hiking, drama. There's so many different interests that youth are going to have. And the point is to explore those. And what's really different about Spiral Scouts is that you're building upon skills from one level to the next. So the levels are roughly organized by age groupings. And then let's say you want to work on your cooking badge as a raindrop. That's ages 3 to 5. You're going to, you know, earn that badge doing fairly simple activities, but then moving on up from Firefly to Spiral Scout and Pathfinder levels, there's going to be an increase in responsibility or skill level. So you can earn that badge again and continue to develop those skills. Whereas it's not, that's not really kind of the traditional way that the scouting programs work. So, and it follows the spiral, and there's their spiral for Spiral Scouts.
Awesome. Yeah. I think the farthest I went when I was in Girl Scouts was, I was a brownie and then I was a junior, but I think I went to just a couple of, and I think that's the name of it. It was the one with the green uniform. I only went to like a couple of meetings for that. And then I dropped out as a kid. But I think if I was in something like Spiral Scouts, I would have found it a little bit more interesting.
I don't have any other background in scouting other than my brothers being in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And I had younger brothers, so I, you know, observed that way. But I have a 10-year-old daughter and a baby now. But I started our charter because I wanted to have the experience for my daughter. And then, you know, I found through that very early on the opportunity to be part of Spiral Scouts International HQ board. So that's how I ended up in this role. But yeah, I wanted her to have a community. A lot of families are, they're not all homeschooling, but there are homeschooling families that use the Spiral Scouts curriculum for their homeschooling activities as well. And so that was appealing for me personally, as a homeschooling parent. And our charter is mixed with homeschoolers and then children that go to public school and private school as well. So it's nice because you have mixed age as well. So the charters are going to be open to scouts from ages 3 to 18. I think I missed saying that in the beginning. But yeah, it's an all ages youth program. And the wonderful thing is that they're interacting together. You can separate by shard, which would be like level, and have, you know, level activities within your meetings. But the curriculum's designed that you can do your meetings and activities with all the ages mixed. And there's going to be learning and teaching opportunities for all of the youth, you know, to interact together. And it's really organic and beautiful in that way.
That sounds pretty fun. I think, you know, I don't have any children, but that sounds like something I might be interested in if I did have kids. Okay, so I have a question. So does the Spiral Scouts do anything like selling cookies like the Girl Scouts do, or the popcorn like the Boy Scouts? Do they have any sort of like fundraising type things that they do within their, should I say, circles or their troops or...
Yeah, well, I'll go over kind of the structure of how the charters operate in a minute, but you're asking specifically about fundraising. So right now we're working on a sticker fundraiser, and it's basically got the Greek pantheon in the sticker collection. So we're going to be doing that this spring, and we are working with a chocolatier to do chocolates the beginning of fall, so that we don't interfere with their busy season during the holidays, so they can get those going. So we'll see how that all, you know, goes and gets going, but we're excited to get some chocolates for fundraising and some fun Spiral Scout shapes. In the past, they've also done a seed fun, like selling seeds. So yeah, it's a little different than selling popcorn or cookies, but we do want to appeal to the sweet tooth as well. So the chocolates are exciting.
I mean, I would definitely buy some chocolates from a group of children in this, like, especially if it's like in shapes and stuff, like that sounds awesome. And the Greek pantheon stickers, like, I'd really love to see what those look like. Those sound really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. They're available on the ATC store. We're still figuring out how we're going to structure it. If anybody just wants to purchase them through the website on behalf of Spiral Scouts, cause they're up there all the time, but they're going to benefit Spiral Scouts during the fundraiser period. So, and then the charters are going to be able to take orders just like you would for cookies and, you know, get pre-orders and then order their stickers and then distribute them as well. So yeah. And then I can talk about the charters, the structure. So you have a few options for participating with Spiral Scouts. There are the two traditional methods, and then one came out of the pandemic. So there's the hearth, which is a single family charter. So there's got to be at least one registered adult volunteer for that. There can be two. So if, like, you know, another parent or caregiver or guardian wants to be involved, they can, but they just need one registered adult volunteer. And adult volunteers go through a background check and some child protection training and a little bit of training for what Spiral Scouts is. So they would just need one adult that's registered and one child. And then if you would like to have a charter and expand to multiple families, then that's what a circle is. And so that would require that there are two registered adult volunteers, a leader and a co-leader. And then there's ratios of how many registered adults with how many youth of a specific age. So I won't dive too deep into that, but you know, let's say I have like 10 scouts, I'm going to need to have obviously a few more registered adult volunteers. And just to keep everybody safe, you know, we take it, it's just the same kind of requirement as most scouting organizations are and other youth organizations that I've worked with as well. So I really appreciate that Spiral Scouts operates in, you know, the way that we should be to protecting our youth and also to make sure that, you know, we have people that are capable and able and feeling confident in doing what they're doing.
Oh yeah, I bet. Do you know like what is, and this might sound like an odd question, so like what is the biggest circle or like what area do you find like has the most Spiral Scouts in the US?
I would say that it really fluctuates. But there's a lot of, well, it's kind of, it's ebb and flowed over the years. You know, there's scouts that have kind of, they've grown up, but the parents aren't, you know, there's, they don't have the same level of involvement. And so there's some charters that have gone inactive. When I look at the charter map, I feel like it's more saturated on the East Coast. So that kind of brings me to kind of look at Spiral Scouts as a whole. So I mentioned there was another option for participating in Spiral Scouts came out of the pandemic. And we do have a virtual circle. So that's actually open to all of the current scouts, no matter what kind of charter they're in, or for scouts that don't have a charter near them, or maybe a hearth just is, it seems a little overwhelming for them, or they just want to get their feet wet and start with Spiral Scouts. We do hold a virtual circle meeting once a month and have resources to help them in their scouting journey as well when we're not meeting. So like last Sunday, we just had our virtual circle meeting, which I led, and the badge that we worked on was the photography badge. So we went over cameras and things like that, and then and some photo taking techniques and just, you know, topics that are going to be requirements on the badges. And then they get to pick from their optional list of requirements what they want to work on. And so I send them on their way. And sometimes scouts don't want to complete the badge. They might just want to do a little bit of work on it, but it's really up to them to find that drive to do it. But yeah, so back to your original question, I would say there's a heavy center more on the East Coast of charters, but there's a lot of charters that kind of closed ranks and went to a hearth operation with the pandemic. So yeah, if you look at our charter map and you see hearth or circle, then you know the difference.
For somebody who's leading maybe one of these circles or a hearth or a virtual circle as the adult who is leading that, do you need to have experience in this? Is there like a handbook that's given to kind of give you the information that you need on your end to teach the class? Like, what does that look like?
So you don't have to, like, there's nobody that says, have you had experience working with youth? I mean, we want to make sure that, you know, it's safe that you're working with youth. So obviously we have a background check, but beyond that and a little bit of basic youth protection training, if you have a desire to lead scouts, then that's really all that it takes. And I think that's the fire that you need to work in any youth organization. And we do have a leader handbook, and we also have scout level handbooks. So the leader handbook basically has all the levels all together, so you can kind of contrast and compare like what all the levels need to do for the requirements when you're planning a meeting or an activity. It's very helpful to have that all in one place versus opening each handbook for each level and bouncing back and forth. So there's also some suggestions for how to start your first meeting. And, you know, a lot of it's really suggestions. That's the thing with Spiral Scouts is you have the freedom and flexibility to make your experience exactly what you want and really what the youth are asking for. It is a youth-led program. So, you know, getting their interest in what badges they would like to work on or awards, and obviously utilizing your skills, seeking out resources. There's, you know, you're going to have to create the structure for it, but you want them to be engaged. So having them help as much as possible is beneficial as well. And the youth also gets to hold offices during each meeting too. So you have them take the attendance. If you are collecting charter dues to benefit your charter, you have them, you know, go through the business in the beginning of the meeting. And if you would like to have ceremonies, it's really up to you how you would like to hold those ceremonies, like an awards ceremony or a spiraling up ceremony or whatever it is. And there's suggestions in the leader handbook to kind of give you ideas, but it's really open to your creativity.
I have actually a couple of questions based on what you were saying. So just to go a little bit more in depth in it, I guess one of the big things is, how do people get involved in this? Like, if somebody's interested in starting their own circle, like, what does that process look like from a hearth to a circle to maybe hosting a virtual one?
So I'll start with the virtual circle. So the virtual circle is actually operated by Spiral Scouts International. So if youth is interested in participating in that, if they go to spiralscouts.org, there's a tab that says virtual circle. And I will warn you that I'm about to redesign the website, so things are going to change, but that will still be there. And scouts can, if they are existing scouts or if they're new youth to the scouting program, there's an option there to register, and that will get them started. And then there is also the shop. So if people want to see, like, what does it cost to get started with scouts? It's very affordable. There's a registration fee for new scouts, and then there's an annual registration fee. And then when you're a new scout, you're going to want to purchase a welcome kit too, which gives you your net cord, your patch, my Spiral Scouts patch, and then also your level patch. And those would go on your uniform, which is very loose as well. A green polo shirt is, forest green polo shirt is traditionally your uniform, and we still encourage it for virtual circle. But you can find those in secondhand stores. You can find them school uniforms. It's very easy to find. But yeah, so those would be the components that you would purchase. And then in the virtual circle, there's no like additional fee to participate in the virtual circle, or in a charter, unless a charter has fees that they're trying to manage or things like that. So to participate in a hearth or a circle that exists, if you go to spiralscouts.org, you find the charter map and you can search by your area. You can look at the map, zoom in, you know, the usual map. And then if it's a hearth, you could reach out to the leader of the hearth keeper and ask them if they're interested in expanding. But sometimes they're not, you know, they might not have the bandwidth for that. But a circle is going to be in existence and they are open to additional families. And there's an email for the circles there. And if you get stuck, you can always email hq@spiralscouts.org, or it all comes to me. I answer all those emails. So you could email vp@spiralscouts.org as well. And if you're interested in starting a hearth or a charter, on our front page, there's a little button that says to start a charter. You'll just click there and get going. So essentially, like I said, you have to have registered adults. So the adults go through the registration process. They have to set up the charter. Spiral Scouts International is run completely by volunteers. So there's nobody sitting at a desk from 8 to 5, Monday through Friday, operating Spiral Scouts. So that said, we're all of our volunteers are working around whatever else is going on in our lives. So it, between the person that's applying and between the volunteers working, it can take a little while to get you registered. We also host a HQ meeting on Wednesdays, and it's open to the public. So the information for that is also on our website, and it can be found under the About Us section on spiralscouts.org. So if you're like, I want real-time answers and I want to get things rolling quickly, come to that board meeting, because you have all of the board members in one place. So that's kind of the way that I got the ball rolling with my charter as well. And it was really beneficial and nice to meet everybody that way too.
Can you volunteer to help out a local hearth or circle or just the organization in general if you don't have children?
You can. You just have to go through the registered adult volunteer process. So, yeah, and you have to reach out to that charter and make sure that they have a need for that as well. But the board also has a great need for volunteers. We've got quite a few vacancies. And part of that just came from, you know, it's post-pandemic era. There's just everything has changed a little bit. So you would still do the registered volunteer process. And the nice thing about serving on the board is that you can serve from anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, as I mentioned, I don't have any children, but this is something that sounds so interesting to me. And I was like, man, I wonder if there's a way that I can help volunteer or like help out a local group or something. But, you know, not having kids, I don't want to sound like a weird, like, hey, other adults that have children and I do not, like, can I help you? Don't want to come off with any like bad in any bad way or anything, but this does sound like it'd be really cool. And if I was a kid, I would have been all over this. This would have been completely up my alley. So maybe just trying to, I don't know, live vicariously through the fun activities they get to do.
Well, you can look up a charter near you, and then just reach out to, if it's a circle, reach out to the circle leader and ask them if they have a need and if there's any specific, like skills, experience that they're looking for. And that's it. Like I said, it's not specifically working with the children for, helping with HQ, but there's a lot of skills that people have and we would love to have them shared with us.
Cool. Okay. So one other question, I know, you know, in today's day and age, housing is very expensive. This might sound like a weird question the way I'm going to phrase it, but do you have to have a central home where all of the meetings take place, or could you start a group but all the meetings take place in like a local library or a park or something like that? Or does there have to be kind of like a homestead if it's not a virtual group?
So you don't have to have one location, and I'll just share my experience leading my own circle here. And my circle's in Sacramento. So if you're in the area and looking for a charter, I'd love to speak with you and can reach out to us. But yeah, so we meet anywhere from the library when the weather is not great, when, you know, we're expecting there not to be enough daylight, but we do meet at local parks as well. We've had days that are very, very hot here in Sacramento in the summer, and we've had businesses. There was a comic book shop that opened up their space to us last summer when we had to make a quick change and find a location. So, you know, you can ask around too, if you need a meeting spot, like if you're connected through social media groups, I use the mom groups all the time for resources, whether it's supplies for our scouts. We just did a training of CPR and first aid for our registered adult volunteers. And there's a dojo owner here that I guess his coven worked with Spiral Scouts like 20 years ago. And he was like, oh my gosh, yes, you can just come use our space. And so, you know, asking for resources is really, really helpful because you don't know what you're going to find available to you unless you kind of try to network. So it's flexible, you know, whatever works for you. Just communicate with your charter families where the meetings are going to be and when they're going to be. That's the main important part.
I think that's actually really cool about the dojo.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I'd posted in some of the pagan groups here about different things for Spiral Scouts. And he had said something before, but then I was looking for a location to host us. And I was like, oh, yes, thank you so much.
Nothing like the local dojo.
Yeah. I was like, wow, Spiral Scouts was here, you know, he said 2020. And I was like, well, that sounds about right for the time. But it was one of the first charters, if that was the case. So,
wow, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. You and I previously discussed talking about how the Scouts are for individuals of all backgrounds and faiths. But could you possibly give an example of what a charter might look like for a group that's more pagan based versus one? You and I had actually talked back channel about a group that's involved with the Satanic Church. Like, what are some of the differences that might come across us, if any at all?
So yeah, I had mentioned the Satanic Church. They chose their charter number at 666, of course. But well, you know,
where is that one at? Do you happen to know?
I am not sure off the top of my head. But I know if you were to pull up the charter map, they're all listed by number, so you can
love that.
Yeah. So I honestly don't know how they operate their charter specifically, but I'm assuming that they have activities and games circled around interests that they have. That's the wonderful thing about Spiral Scouts. Like I said, you can make it whatever flavor you want. The charter leader or their support committee, if they have one, are helping plan the meetings. And literally you're looking for games to fulfill the badge requirements. You're looking for art projects. You're looking for field trips. It's really at your discretion. And like I said, there's a few awards that are going to be more in line with pagan activities, but also just however you choose to do your opening and closing ceremonies at a meeting, you might bring your own flavor in that way as well. Well, and I also wanted to touch on the, I'm kind of backtracking, sorry about this, but Spiral Scouts operates on the five elements: air, water, fire, earth, and spirit. So all of the badges fall into one of those categories. And obviously those are the 5 points of the pentagram as well. So considering that, that is very rooted, obviously, in pagan tradition. So I think the kids, the scouts rather, they are just eager to learn. And if it's something that they have experience in, they want to share that. Obviously, the family structure dictates that. My circle in particular has a couple pagan families, but it's mostly, you know, people of all backgrounds. So it's really nice that we can take it in whichever direction it seems to be of interest to everybody.
I love that. I love that it's so inclusive to everyone.
Yeah. And nobody wants to ever feel excluded, right? So
right.
I think that is a, you know, it's obviously a, it's an important piece of our time, as it's timeless rather, but I think that really letting people know that we are an organization that's open to everyone is really important.
So even with this inclusivity, I have to ask, have you ever dealt with any pushback from any religious organizations?
As an organization, Spiral Scouts, I don't know specifically that there has been a big history of that. I'm just not privy to that information.
Yeah, no problem. Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah. I feel like if there was, it was some time ago. I like to say BC, before Camille.
I've also heard people saying BC, like before COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Does the Spiral Scouts have any large group, like camping trips or anything like the Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts might have?
So each charter can kind of organize whatever they'd like to do. We don't have like a national event that is a goal of ours. It would be so great to do that. There are tribes, which are your region, and we're kind of rebuilding all of that after COVID, like what that looks like and everybody that's involved. But I personally, for California, have put out feelers in some of the pagan groups and said, if you're interested with your Spiral Scouts charter or interested in starting one, we'd love to do kind of an activity where all of the charters come together. So they don't exist yet, but it would be so wonderful to do that. It really just takes, you know, interest in participating, and it takes volunteers that want to put the work into organizing it and planning it as well.
Well, once the chocolates come out, I'm sure hopefully there'll be something to fundraise towards, and hopefully it'll be a large group gathering, because I know that's always a big hit with the kids.
Yeah, it is. And just getting together, I mean, you don't have to be outdoors, but I personally love doing these activities outdoors. And we have I haven't even shared this part, but Spiral Scouts, a big part of Spiral Scouts is stewardship for nature and being involved in nature-centered activities. So anytime we can get outside with the scouts is great, whether we're holding our meetings out there or going on a hike or a camping trip or whatever that looks like, or cleaning up a park for our seasonal community service. It's great to be outside with the youth.
Yeah. My Girl Scout troop that I was in, I never went to any of the Girl Scout camps or anything like that, but I wish that my troop was definitely more of a social thing. Like, we got together, but we never really worked on anything for the badges. We sold cookies, but we didn't really do anything aside from that. And so I never learned how to do like the basic Girl Scout things, like how to start a fire or like, you know, the basic things you learn in the scouts. And I, you know, I'm 30 now, but I wish I knew how to do that. Maybe one day I'll figure it out. I have a theoretical idea, but it would have been cool learning to do that as a kid.
Yeah, I agree. I like having all the skills and knowing how to do things. And that kind of reminded me of this point, like, it's obviously not all about the badges and awards. It's really about the experience with Spiral Scouts. And again, this comes down to each individual charter, how much time they want to spend on working on badges and things like that. And also letting the scouts know that they're not required to do all the work to earn a badge if they're not interested. But it is really nice to have something to show for the work that you have done, you know, to display, and you feel a sense of pride and it feels nice.
Oh, definitely. I'm sure having that little like badge to show off to their friends and be like, oh, look, I like learned all these skills and I got that. I mean, kids love that.
Yeah.
Hell, adults love that.
We've had adults inquire about whether they can join Spiral Scouts or not. I'm like, well, you can help with a charter.
Yeah, I told some of my friends that I was going to have an interview about this. And they were like, "Ooh, what's that?" And once I explained a little bit about the Spiral Scouts from what I saw online before you and I spoke today, they're like, "Oh, like, you know, what's the age limit?" And I'm like, "We're too old. We can't do it anymore." But, you know, I think that was one of the things that piqued my interest when, you know, I did the episode of Mandy Gore Magica. I'd never heard of this before. And I said, man, like, that would be so cool to be able to do something like that. So I was super happy that you and I were able to get together and talk about this just to give some awareness for the organization and those who do have children who are looking for something that's like not the traditional Boy Scouts or Girl Scouts, but looking for something a little bit more inclusive, a little bit more, you know, pagan-y nature based, even though it's not outright pagan, but there's definitely some, you know, there's the elements, there's the circle, the name, Spiral Scouts, you know, there's a flavor involved
there,
in that.
There is. Yeah.
Well, Camille, thank you so much for coming on and discussing this organization with me. Is there anything else that you want to mention that we haven't brought up yet?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but I'm sure when we're all wrapped up, I'll probably be like, why didn't I share this? So if there's other questions that people have, I would definitely invite them to reach out. They can email us and I'll probably be the one responding, like I said. So you can email hq@spiralscouts.org or vp@spiralscouts.org. And again, we have our board meetings on Wednesday nights. Those are at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So across the board, you can find your local time zone. But you can find the link to join us on the About Us section of spiralscouts.org.
Awesome. And I will link the website into the bio of this episode as well. So thank you again, Camille, so much for coming on. If anybody is interested in connecting with me, you can find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast, on Twitter at Seek Witchcraft, Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft, or I have a Patreon if you would like to support the show. It's patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. And that is pretty much it for today. So thank you, everybody, so much for listening. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day or evening when you're listening to this. See ya. Bye.
Bye.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.